This week, Galatians chapter 3. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to verse 10 and the following verses. As Paul said, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all of the things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Now Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.' That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." When God gave the law to the children of Israel, it was really the rules for life, the rules for a good life. God said, "Now, if you will keep these commandments and do the things that I have commanded you," he began to list for them all of the blessings that would be bestowed upon them. The natural, inevitable consequence of living a good life. The blessings that come from it. He then also warned, "But if you do not keep the commandments, but you turn aside and you cast away my laws, my rules," then God pronounced the inevitable consequences of living an unrighteous life. The misery, the sorrow that would come to them. In Leviticus chapter 26, he sort of lays out the blessings of keeping the law, the curses of disobeying the commandments. He said that he would bring upon them terror, wasting diseases, a fever that will destroy their eyes and drain away their lives. That they will plant their seed, but they will not eat of it. Strangers will come and devour their fruit. That they would be slain by their enemies. That they would flee when no one is pursuing them. They would panic. That they would be so famished that they would be driven to eating their own children. Their land would be laid waste and the cities would be destroyed. That they would be scattered among the heathen and that the ultimate curse would be death. Now, one of the curses of the law was to be hung on a tree. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 22, it said, "And if a man has committed a sin that is worthy of death, and he be put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but you shall bury him the day that he dies. For he that is hanged on a tree is accursed of God. In order that the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God gives to thee for an inheritance." So the declaration, and Paul quotes it here, "Cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree." But the curse that Jesus has delivered us from, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that curse is the death for the disobedience to the law. For the law condemned a person to death who would not obey the law of God. And that's not just part of the law, that's the whole law. In fact, the law says if you keep the whole law, yet you violate in one point, you are guilty of all. Because it said, "Cursed is the man who doesn't continue in the whole law to do that which is written therein. And so if you are trying to be righteous before God by keeping the law, if you violate in one point, then you come under the curse of the law. Thus, Paul concludes, none of us can be justified by keeping the law. The law actually has already condemned all of us to death because all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. The idea that Paul is putting across is that the law was not intended, nor can it make you righteous or give to you a righteous standing before God. You cannot just keep part of the commandments. You say, well, I like that one. I'll keep that one. I don't like that one, though. It's not a smorgasbord for choose and pick what you want. You've got to keep the whole law or you're under the curse of the law. Now, let's say that you are exceptional and that you are an exception to this basic fact that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let's say that up to this point in your life, you have lived a perfect life. You've not had one mean, cruel thought. You've always had just a very beautiful, generous attitude towards everybody. That you are Mr. or Miss Perfect. And all of us are a little reluctant to even get around you because we're afraid that we might defile you some way if we should touch you. You are so perfect. And we all stand in awe. We stand back and we admire. We talk about you. We can't imagine how in the world a person could be so good and so perfect as you are. And up to this point in your life, you have not violated one single commandment of the law. But on the way home from church today, as you're driving down the freeway, in your rearview mirror, you see a car weaving out of traffic, traveling at an excessive rate of speed. And as they come whizzing by you, suddenly, without a signal or anything, they pull right in front of you and put on their brakes. And as you throw on your brake and come screeching towards them, you cry out, "You fool!" And then you hit him, you go through the windshield, and you're history. Poor thing. You came awful close, but you violated the law. And thus, violate one, you're guilty of all. Oh, pity, pity. You came so close, but you missed. You see, it really doesn't matter how close you may come. If you violate in one point, you're guilty of all. The Bible said, if a man keeps the whole law and yet violates in one, he's guilty of all. Cursed is he who doesn't continue in the whole law to do all of the things that are written therein. So we realize that we are guilty. And being guilty, the law has condemned us to death. I am under the curse of the law. But yet Paul is declaring here that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? By taking the curse for us. Because it says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus hung on that cross to deliver us from the curse of the law. I'm the guilty party. I'm the one who deserves to die. I should be hanging there. But Jesus took my sins. He took my guilt. He died in my place. That Jesus bore our sins when he died on the cross is evident throughout the entire scriptures. When Isaiah the prophet was talking about the coming Messiah and the abuse that he would go through, his body being marred, his face so marred that you wouldn't recognize him as a human being. As he talks about the things that would be inflicted upon him physically, he said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. All of us, like sheep, had gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own ways, but God laid on him the iniquities of us all. Wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. I went astray. God laid on him the iniquities, my iniquities, your iniquities. And then further down in the 53rd chapter there, God finally cried, for the transgressions of my people was he smitten. Jesus said, I did not come to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life as a ransom for all. He declared that was his mission, to give his life as a ransom for all, so that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law because he became a curse for us. When Jesus was with his disciples in the Last Supper and he took the cup, he said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. My blood, he said, that's for the remission of sins. It was not his sin, it was our sin that he died for. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, for God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Writing to Titus, Paul said, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people who are zealous of good works. The author of the book of Hebrews wrote, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus came to put away sin by sacrificing himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Peter said, for as much as you know, you've not been redeemed by silver and gold from that empty life you once lived, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who was slain as a lamb without spot and without blemish. Then in the second chapter, Peter wrote, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By his stripes you were healed. He in his own body bore your sins on the cross. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. So that's glorious. If that was the whole gospel, that would be marvelous. It means that I don't have to suffer the curses that were pronounced upon those who broke the law of God. That's wonderful. But it goes beyond that. it's more than wonderful. For we read in verse 14 that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus Christ has not only freed me and delivered me from the curse of the law, he has brought to me the glorious blessings that God pronounced upon Abraham. Now, God promised so many wonderful blessings to Abraham. And those blessings that God promised to Abraham are now blessings that I can claim. But the greatest blessing, of course, one that I can't claim, that God promised to Abraham, was that through his seed, all of the nations of the world would be blessed. All of the nations of the world, the Gentiles. Paul points out in verse 16 that it was seed singular as unto one. It wasn't through your seeds, plural as of many. For that seed, he said, was Jesus Christ. In other words, God promised Abraham that through your lineage, the Messiah will come, which will bring a blessing to the whole world. What blessing? The blessing of the forgiveness of sins. The blessings of being freed from the consequences of sin, the suffering, the curses that come upon the person who lives the wrong kind of a life. God's blessings would be extended to the Gentiles. Isaiah prophesied that in chapter 49. He said, as God is speaking to the Son, is it a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel? I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And so Jesus, a light unto the Gentiles, salvation to us. Again in Isaiah 52, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all of the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. God has opened the door, salvation to all who will come, Gentile, Jew alike. You remember when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea? That night that he was born, there were certain shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Good news. To all people, the Savior is born. And so the blessings that God has promised for his children, his love, his blessings. And you know, I have to just bear witness that the blessings of God are so rich, so full, so glorious, that there are times when I just have to stop and just to praise God. And, oh, Lord, you are so good. You're so wonderful. You've so enriched our lives with your blessings. And it just overwhelms me. The blessings of God that have come upon me through Jesus Christ, who became a curse for me, that I might be redeemed from the curse of the law, in order that he might then just shower me with his blessings. Oh, God is so good. And the blessings also include the gift of the Holy Spirit. We Gentiles can receive the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God promised that he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters would prophesy. Your young men would see visions. Your old men would dream dreams. And upon his servants and handmaidens would he pour out of his Spirit. God promised through Ezekiel that the day would come when God would give to them a new spirit. And he would take away their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. He said, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to keep, you will keep my judgments and do them. Now, this is through the power of the Holy Spirit. No longer are the commandments written on tables of stone. God said in Jeremiah, and in that day, I will no longer write my commandments on tables of stone, but on the fleshly tablets of your heart. The Lord said, I'll give you a new heart. This is the way it works. The transformation through Jesus Christ is so complete that he has changed my heart. I don't keep the law because I feel that, you know, God is right there ready to pounce on me when I disobey. I keep the law because I desire to. It's my desire to please God. It's my desire to live the right kind of a life. I long for purity and for holiness. And my heart yearns to do the will and the work of God. It's my delight. It's as Jesus said, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. That's what he meant by he would write it on the fleshly tablets of our heart. He would give us the desire. He would change us within. So that I no longer desire those corrupt, evil things of the world that destroy a man. But my desires are now to do the things that will bless others and please others and above all please God, whom I serve. This is the offer that God is giving to each of us today. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. But he has brought to us the blessings of Abraham upon us Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that we might receive the promise of God's Spirit through faith. A marvelous invitation by God to come and lay all your sin and all your burdens on him, to be transformed by the power of his Holy Spirit, and now to live a life that will be rich in blessings. You see, already some of you are beginning to experience the consequences of a life of evil. Some of these curses that God has declared, you've already begun to experience. Your life has become a real mess. And things are looking dark. Sin is beginning to take its toll. But Jesus said, look, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He will deliver you from the curse of the law. And instead, you can be blessed of God in all that you do. God said, I'll bless you when you come in. I'll bless you when you go out. Up one side, down the other, the blessings of God are offered to each of us today through Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, how grateful we are today that you sent your Son to redeem us from the curse of the law, because we were guilty and we had sinned. And we were condemned by the law to die for our sins. But he took the curse and died on the cross in our stead. How grateful we are for such love. And now, Lord, today, as we have received Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, that the curse is lifted, and we are now under the mantle of your blessings, the blessings that you bestow upon us daily, the riches of your grace and mercy through Jesus our Lord. Oh, Lord, help people today to realize that what you have to offer is the greatest gift that any man could ever receive. And may they receive that gift in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? The Bible says this is the record. God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, and he that has the Son has life. Now, you're at a crossroads. You can continue in your sin, in the disobedience of the laws of God. Doesn't really matter which of the commandments you are guilty of committing. It's one is the same as the other. You're guilty of all. And in so doing, your life can become a total wreck. You think things are bad now, they'll only go from bad to worse. Or you can come to Jesus Christ and not only be freed from the curse of the law, but you can receive the blessings of God and you can live in God's blessings. Through Jesus Christ, the power of the Spirit enabling you to be the person God wants you to be. No longer ruled and dominated by your fleshly desires, but now ruled and governed by the Spirit of God, the life that God wants for you. It's your choice. But I would pray that you would make the wise choice of receiving Jesus as your Lord. I would encourage you, go back to the prayer room and there just get on your knees before him and ask him for the forgiveness of your sins. Invite him to come into your life. Invite him to take over the reins of your life. Lord, I don't want to try and direct my life anymore. You take the reins, Lord. You lead me in your path. And then know the riches of his blessings. Pastors and counselors will be back in the prayer room to help you to discover that rich life that God has for you as you follow his Son, Jesus Christ.